15 to 20 million.
Jump on in.
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leader.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM Radio, which serves many of the communities in Philadelphia, and I'm always proud to highlight my involvement with American Workers Radio. But because we have so many listeners from many nationalities, I want to also highlight them today. Just for a note, go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in, and they can also listen from anywhere in the USA or in the world by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. Well, over the year, I have an opportunity to go out into many of the ethnic communities. As the president of Ethnic Americans United, what I do is I meet with the groups a few times a year, and we discuss many issues about sponsoring different community events, parades, we talk about insurance and all that sort of stuff so that none of us are wasting time. And during that process, we also talk about what is happening with the job situation in the USA and what all of us collectively can do about it. Now, going out to several events, last Sunday we had the Pulaski Day Parade in Philadelphia. Many of the viewers commented, called us to let us know how beautiful that event was. But not only am I involved with the Pulaski Day Parade, but as the president of the Ethnic Americans United, I work with the Polish, the Irish, the Germans, the Puerto Ricans. I was at their parade the week prior to that. This coming week, I'll be at the Italian, the Columbus Day Parade. I work with the Greeks, the Ukrainians, the Lithuanians, and also the African American community. So wherever I go, I not only try to work with those communities, I also have the opportunity to promote this broadcast and what we're trying to do to get jobs back here in the USA. And I must say, because of all these people united together, we're getting that word out to more and more people, not only here in southeastern Pennsylvania, but across the USA. Now, just let me begin also that Americans tell me they want jobs and more industries, not more government social programs. Because this past weekend, we highlighted that Polish settlers came to America on October the 1st, 1608. And for hundreds of years following them came many groups, and all those people came to this country to work hard to support themselves and their families. Now, that was possible in the USA because we were able to find jobs, whether it was in manufacturing, farming, numerous private sector industries, small businesses, and many people were self-employed. However, things have changed. In fact, those days, everyone had something to offer, and in return, they were compensated and they were able to support themselves, provide for their families, keep a house going. But today, I must say that 98% of those people had no involvement with government whatsoever. Government was there just to collect some taxes and keep government services alive, like schools and police and, you know, public safety, national safety, things like that. How did government programs get started to the point where they're worrying about not jobs, but keeping social programs alive? I'm going to ask that question today first of Rich.
Michael, good morning, and good morning to all the listeners.
And Mark is with us today, and he's got a lot to say, too.
Mark, how you doing?
Good. Good morning.
Well, you know, Michael, let me try to just, as a preemptive, precursor, to answer that, is that we are, what I believe is happening right now, and I think it's very clear is that we have spent many years and many hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars, masking a major symptom and a major problem, which is that our workforce continues to earn at 1970s, 1980s levels. You have incomes that simply have just not kept up for kept up with inflation. You have an economic situation now where you have many people who, in fact, do work but earn a little bit of money and need to essentially receive supplements to their income. So what's happening now is that businesses aren't paying modern wages when adjusted for inflation. Workers are getting supplements, which are funded by taxes. So what we're essentially doing is funding, we're propping up and supporting and buttressing businesses that don't pay. So we have to supplement that, whereas businesses that right now are always getting offers and enticements to move overseas and move elsewhere, which I sent early this morning an article to yourself and Henry, which your listeners will be interested to see. I saw it on Yahoo today, which is there was an article about new merger and acquisition tax shelters and tax havens that are being established for American businesses. So American businesses are getting their offers on the table. Other countries are creating enticements that are proving to be really too good to be true for companies, and they're taking them. So where does it leave our workforce? Well, it leaves our workforce basically as a more or less a part-time job economy, right? 100,000, 150,000 jobs come on the books, many of which are just replacement jobs, death, retirement, disability, and 200,000 or 300,000 jobs come off the book. So 100 or so come on, which really isn't 100. It's, let's say, 50 or maybe 60,000, and then 200 or 300 come off the books. What kind of ratio really is that?
I agree. And it's pretty scary that it's come to this. And I want to mention, as we begin this discussion today, is as I go amongst the ethnic communities, none of these people, first of all, want to be without a job. No one in America wants to be poor. No one in America wants for their children or grandchildren to see them without a job and unable to support themselves. That's the biggest thing that I hear from people in every public circle I go to. Michael, that's extremely important that you get that message across. Number two, what are we going to do to wake up these government officials, or maybe throw them out? If they're not doing their jobs, where are the things that they're proposing to bring jobs back, not proposals to get jobs somewhere else so they can get money regardless, whether it's coming in from our tax dollars or it's coming in from feedback or money back from foreign distributors? This has got to come to some kind of a point. Mark, you've been through this. You work with people of many nationalities who come to your store. What are they saying?
You know, it's funny you ask, Mike, and good morning, Rich, and listeners. I just ran back for the radio station. I had another bus. We've got 12 buses, and again, 80% of our buses are coming from out of state. And, you know, today's bus was from Central New York, and I talked to the group leader, and we were just talking about, you know, what you're talking about. When people came to America, they wanted to work. You know, they wanted a job. They wanted to provide for their families, and we need jobs. And we got talking about the shutdown right now, and I said, boy, if I was a business, and I just said, well, heck with it. I'm not getting along with the workers. We're not doing it my way. We're just going to shut down. You know, I would probably last a week or two, and then the cash flow wouldn't come in, and I'd have to close my doors. And, you know, him being a tour group leader and doing travel with the buses, the shutdown is hurting our economy because, you know, he's trying to go to Gettysburg, and you can't get in to see the park. And in Washington, you can't believe they could have left the Vietnam and the World War II Memorial and the Roosevelt open because it wasn't closed buildings. You could just left it open. But I was just listening to him because it's affecting his business, and he said he brought up the governor of Colorado and said he used to be mayor, the governor's there, but they were going to stop building the roads or working on the roads because the National Guard was working on them. But he said, you know what, the governor stepped in and said, no, you're not. You're going to keep working on them. And, you know, we're going through these different things, and then he said, you know, it's a shame that our veterans, our soldiers that are serving our country right now, they're holding their paychecks. Now, they worked that out, I believe. But the ones being shipped back, you know, that didn't make it, and the family's got to come, and now they're, you know, they're thinking about holding their pay. I just, you know, where are they going? How could you shut down? And the decisions, they have to work on compromise. There's just so much. I'm just looking at how much this government shutdown, Mike, has hurt our economy and not helped, and how it shows third-grade mentality, how they're not getting – they got to work on a specific item and start working on it and not close down.
You know, they announced this morning that America takes in $250 billion a month for general taxes, of which 10% of that goes immediately to pay interest on loans. Now, what the people should be doing in Washington is saying we got to take that 10% that's being paid out on loan money and put that back into our coffers so that we can operate job programs, we can fix America's roads, and keep Americans going, not be paying money out for foreign loans. It doesn't make any kind of sense to me. The whole thing is backwards. And people now, for the first time, everywhere I go, people are tired of it. They're sick, tired, and disgusted to see the way national leaders are acting like children.
And maybe that's the good part of this. Mike, you know, I drove in today thinking about that. Maybe this is going to make change. Maybe everybody's going to go, geez, are you kidding me? At crisis time when we need jobs, we've got serious problems, they're going to not talk.
And
no
then
negotiation.
Yes, and it shows just how little leadership quality these people have. There's not one proposal on the table. It seems that everybody is standing in the corners of the rooms, but they're not getting together in the middle. There's no proposal that I could see and say, well, this makes sense. They're talking, but nothing is in writing. I look every day to see what I can be impressed about, and I'm not impressed. I'm depressed for the people that are looking for jobs and can't find anything. And
Rich,
now...
Could you do that, Rich? Could you close down and just... you know, for a few weeks, and when you're mad at something, or do you got to keep your business running?
Well, you know, if I got my Why Work chairman hat on, it's always the same, Mark. But in real life, in reality, you know, I don't look. You and me, we're business owners. The fact of the matter is, we as you say, we have livelihoods to support. We have customers, right? I have businesses to support, many of which have been affected by this shutdown. We have to see. Maybe we're the idiots here. We've got to work for our money, right? The old-fashioned way here. And to your point, guys, about maybe this is, you know, I'll tell you, America needs to get a little PO'd. I'm not going to say the full word because Colin Powell's kid might call you Michael and give you a fine or something, but I think Americans need to get a little PO'd about this and need to start really again looking in the mirror. And I know I bring this point up a lot, guys, and you're indulging me ad nauseum here, but Americans need to look in the mirror. They need to look around and say, we need more choice. More choice in our elections brings more ideas to the table. Now, yes, more choice is also going to maybe bring, you know, some of the freaks out of the woodwork too. But the fact of the matter is, more choices is going to give exposure to more ideas. The abundance of ideas is going to result in good ideas, not just the same two parties every time that just put on a theatrical show to show that they're different or not. And Michael, I want to just, not to bring healthcare up, but I do want to mention this. You may recall last week, and I want to mention it for your listeners, that there was an article in the Washington Times last week about Harry Reid and John Boehner having a secret, now it's no longer secret, of course, but at the time was a secret, backdoor, closed-door meeting about maintaining congressional subsidies for health care. Harry Reid is the top Democrat after the president and the vice president. John Boehner is the Speaker of the House. He's third in line for the president. They had a closed-door, covert meeting. The president knew about it, a couple other members, about health care. Two guys, two parties, essentially the same thing, having a meeting, the kind of meeting that Enron used to hold. Okay, those are the kinds of meetings that Enron used to hold before they pulled the plug on their shareholders, investors, and 401k holders. So Americans really need to think about the shutdown and what it means for the future. And if they get mad enough, maybe they'll start demanding more choice in our elections and saying, you know what, the same two guys all the time, it's not, that's not the best solution.
You're right. And you know what, Rich, I want to add to this, that today government wants to tax and spend our money on most things that we don't even want here in the USA. But because it went on for so long, 30 years, people just worried about everything but what's going on in their country. Government representatives feel that they can do anything they want, anything they choose. And because there is such a small percentage of people like ourselves and our listeners, the political system has really had some very bad times. And we're trying to wake the people up. And if we have to bring in additional parties in the future to get people to debate, as we had some time ago with Ross Perot and others, we have got to do it. We have got to lead that force, because the two-party systems in place right now, they want to keep that forever and ever. Amen. They don't want any third party. They're condemning the Tea Party and the other independents as much as they can so that people start to look away from them. But I think these four and five party ideas are going to have to come about.
Well, we as an electorate, though, need to demand that. You know, the way that we've, if you look at any consumer product, really any product, they're in abundance. There are many, many choices. We seem to have a choice in everything except our elections. Mark, you spend your days trying to add more products to your stores. You're trying to add more choice to your stores day in and day out to give consumers a choice to buy that pair of socks or that belt or that, you know, garden hose or whatever, that you give them a choice to buy American made. And not foreign, and not overseas, and foreign made. So you're looking to bring every day. You're trying to bring more choice. We
Absolutely.
Need to demand that, Michael. If we don't demand that as an electorate, it's going to continue to remain this way. What evidence can someone present to the table to suggest that if we don't demand more choice, that things are going to really change? You cannot bring any true measurable evidence to the table to suggest that things are going to change. These two guys are going to put on their pro wrestling theatrics for as long as they can. And they've been doing it already for decades. Remember, the two parties, Michael, they get all the money, all the media attention, $6 billion alone just for the presidential election. And by the government's own admission, they don't even know where a lot of that money came from. Mark, there was money that came from other countries. Other countries influenced the outcome of our presidential election.
You know, and when we talk about the shutdown, it doesn't affect a lot of people. So we're talking about the parks, it affects the veterans and the soldiers. But, you know, it affected me directly because I do military projects, and a lot of people don't know, you know, the Lockheed, the Boeings. They can't have their federal inspectors come in. So if the inspectors can't come in, the projects can't move forward. And it directly affected me last Friday when we got an email that said, I'm sorry, we are no longer to, you know, correspond with you until the shutdown's over. So how does that help the economy in this tough, tough time? You know, what they're doing in Washington, it affected me directly. And, Rich, it might have affected you or Mike, you know, but we just have to get better people down in Washington. And that's what you're talking about, Rich. We need choice, and hopefully it wakes up this country.
I want to add something to that. Through this broadcast, I will say this, as in my travels, as I go to stores, people in the leadership of the store, the manager, the sales clerks, they tell me that people are coming in. So we are urging people to have choices with what they buy. Look for some American, have some foreign made, no problem. Get to that 50-50 balance. But when you go in somewhere and you speak up to the manager or to the owner, you are making more of a difference than you can ever imagine, because what they're telling me now is that business is flat. They see now that the American people have little money to spend on things other than general operating of their home and family and food and insurance and things like that. So they're left with a lot of inventory. If that inventory is foreign made, well, people who are hearing our message are saying, well, wait, I'll wait to another time. If it's American made, they're trying to move those things off the shelf so that Americans will keep their job. And that's a beautiful thing to hear as I go around, because I'm involved in this and urging all of our listeners and our supporters to go out and do that. This is exactly what we have to do in the political system. Some of these people have become so far above what they should have been ever considered that we now have to pull the reins in. It's like having a horse run wild for a long, long time, and there has no bridle, so you have no way to stop it. We have got to stop this train wreck, period.
And you know what's nice is, like you touched on it, I just heard this morning from another customer right before the bus aisle, consumers are making change. And I said, absolutely. They're getting educated with their purchase. They're realizing what they buy and what it affects. And they like to see they can make a difference. And they're starting to realize, even with my veterans that completed at the VA hospitals, now we ship 6 Made in America products to the 178 hospitals in the country and to their stores. But this is consumer demand. Consumer demand changes everything. No matter what, if it's Walmart, whoever, they have to follow what the consumers are asking and requiring. And we can't say it enough, Mike, to tell people to complain. You want to see more product here. My daughter's 11. I do this all for my daughter. This movement is alive and well, but people have to get involved. They have to buy Made in America products. You have to support the country you live in at some percentage, at some degree. And it is working, though. And that's the beauty coming into this holiday season. You want to buy products, presents, buy Made in America presents. You want to make a difference. This fourth quarter is so large, and so to retailers and manufacturers, if the retailer is selling it, the manufacturer or supplier is getting the jobs from it. So the consumer, the American, right now can make a difference.
Right. I agree. I plead with every person listening to make sure that you get this message out. Tell your family and friends, this holiday season, I want to see things that are made in the USA. If you can't, maybe share a gift certificate with me, and I'll go out and I'll buy something at that store. But just don't buy things for the idea of having a lot of packages. Try to support your American-made manufacturers first. They are hurting. Majority of these people tell me that they're being killed by general operation costs. Electricity went up. The summer costs of air conditioning, heating now, matching taxes, employee taxes, and many of the people. And I think that our employers have to start to speak up too, to let their people know exactly what they pay in to keep them employed in that business. So many people think that, oh, money is coming in checks and in the cash register. You have to take out all the expenses first before you've earned the first dollar toward employees and operational costs.
You know, Mike, this it's perfect you brought that up, because 2 weeks ago now, I set the fourth quarter plan, goals, and adjustments. I have faith we'll make it, but I always face the brutal facts. I don't hide nothing on my employees, and I don't keep them in the dark. Some employees wish I would here, but I don't. I put it all on the table. So I tightened up. You know, I said, hey, we got to do this, this, and this. We got all, the goal is no layoffs, so we've got to cut back. And what happens, they get, a few feathers get ruffled, and, you know, one guy left. But it's funny, because it's such tough times, but I work as a team. It's about everybody's livelihood, and I think everybody should have that thought process.
You're
think
absolutely.
About everybody else.
And you know, Mark, I saw that in the movie, that this was the way you operated. And believe me when I tell you, everyone who saw the American-made movie said this guy operates his business as a family. In fact, I'm going to have a special request of your dad, who was featured in the movie. Now, your dad's been operating some business things for some time. I'm going to ask him to let me know when he remembers the insurance programs in the USA going from nonprofits to profits. At one time, the majority of our hospitals and healthcare centers were all nonprofits. They were some run by religious groups and so forth and so on. But when did that turn over? When did having someone's healthcare all of a sudden become a business?
Good question. I will ask him, Mike. That's a great question.
He's a person who would know, and hearing him in the movie and seeing him, this is a man that could sit down and give you a history lesson that you won't forget. And I do deal with many of the people like that. In fact, I spoke to a man this morning who is a historian who told me many things, which I will bring up on future broadcasts. And we have to start talking to one another, because our national leaders are not talking to us. They're not telling us what they're proposing to do to change our economy around so that we get our jobs back. All they're doing is worrying about who's going to win the battle at the budget table. Who's going to give in? Who's going to look good? As I said a few months ago, I prefer to have at least four active parties in America at all times. And the reason I propose that is if two parties are at the table, one walks away, you're sitting there all alone. If you have four parties sitting at the table and one walks away, you still have three people discussing the issues. And that is where America has to have some changes. They say, oh, we're based upon the two-party system. That, as Rich has said a dozen times, has to change.
Well, Michael, the way that our elections work, and I know I've discussed with you, Mark, I know I've discussed with you an idea that I have right now that is being fleshed out, that about our elections. Our elections are designed to essentially encourage people to stay home. And that's proven by the fact that voter turnout is typically, if you look on the federal level, it's typically in the 50-ish percent. I mean, this past presidential election, you had 55% turnout. In 2008, you had 60%, which was a record. And truthfully, when the two parties found out that they were getting 60%, they probably freaked out, because the more people who vote, the more likely there is to have a change. So you'll see in your day-to-day conversations how there are so many there are people who are intelligent and informed who don't bother to vote because they don't feel it makes a difference. And unfortunately, in just about every one of our states, because of the Electoral College, that is true. So that needs to be, there's a whole reform idea that I'm working on, and then when the time is right, we'll present it to the public, that if people had more choice, I believe, without question, I believe you would see more turnout. You'd see more people who would otherwise want to be involved but don't bother, Michael, because they just say, what difference does it make? These guys are all the same. There's only two choices every single time. One guy replaces another and promises the world and doesn't deliver. This is the mentality right now of our electorate, right? This is their observation. And unfortunately, they're not altogether incorrect when they say that.
You're absolutely right. You know what, Rich? The worst part of what I've been hearing about from the people is that when they do contact the elected officials, they're given the general brush off. Thank you for your thoughts and your concerns, whether it's through email or a phone call. I'll make sure that the representative understands that you called. The problem we have is there is no return receipt to the person calling. You may get a little receipt that thank you for your, it's a canned type of a response. Thank you for contacting the senator or the representative. I want people in Washington to respond to specific requests. That's the only way this thing is going to turn around. There is a link on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. It says loud and clear, contact your elected officials here. All you have to do is click on that link, put in your zip code, and your elected officials come up. And when you call, Some people like to call, some people prefer to write, and some people prefer to email. All of those options are available. Don't hesitate to do it. If we don't take action now, it's not going to happen. And the biggest thing that I'm asking for you to call about is jobs, because we're hearing about everything else through this whole issue of the shutdown and the sequester and everything else. But how many times do we hear any of those representatives get up and say, I want more jobs in America? Have you seen it, Mark?
No, I haven't. You know, and you're touching on so much. I want to ask, you know, the handouts that everybody wants and gets, where'd the work ethic go and the drive? You know, if you take an old farmer, the farmer work ethic was outstanding. In fact, Nucor used to hire farmers work ethic because you could hire them, work them like two and pay them like one and a half type thing. And that was that's how they built their company, Nucor, you know, that farmer work ethic. But, Rich, you touched on it, and, Mike, these handouts are really, you know, it's undermining the whole American dream.
Well, and the handouts, really, Mark, as I have discussions with the elected officials, and they'd rather not discuss things with me. The biggest problem is this. In order to masquerade the fact that we don't have jobs in America, more and more social programs were added. And that means that more and more dependency upon government came about, which meant more and more people had to be bowing down to government officials because that's where their bread and butter came from. That has got to stop.
It has to. And then even with the kids covered till they're 25, 26, you know, health insurance, get a job, get to work. I mean, we got to get after it. We got to admit America got lazy too. And yes, we need jobs. And that's what we're talking about by buying Made in America products. But a lot of people don't get it. You know, they just don't put it all together. And they better start soon, right?
Absolutely. You know, my main concern is after what I saw happening since 9/11, that jobs and job skills in the USA are really at a low point. I'm concerned that many of America's young people will never be able to experience the benefit of working at a full-time job where their time and their talents will be used and appreciated. We became such a service-oriented economy that just can't continue. How much and how long can you pay a person to move paper from one end of the desk to the other? It doesn't work out.
And they're growing part-time positions. Rich, you just touched on it. And I read an article last week. It was an employment company that finds employment. And he had to admit, even though he's doing well, it's all part-time work and not even a 32-hour work week. They're talking a 24-hour work week. And what's that going to teach? What's that going to breed when people aren't busy, ain't working, ain't providing for their family?
Yes, I did discuss that issue with one of our local employers. And he said, well, Michael, in order for me to get rid of my personnel department and allow my paycheck service to handle what my personnel department did, is I'm going to keep all of my people on part-time, which means I have no concern about health care. I'm going to make them sign a paper that health care is their obligation. They are part-time people, and that's it. Now, another thing which is interesting, if you have a part-time job, you can work 50 hours and your employer is not obligated to have you on the healthcare system. You're a part-time job, and you could be reduced below 28 hours at any point. The fact that you're making overtime, maybe up for the upcoming holiday season or whatever, is a benefit, but it's not a lasting benefit. And that's how many of the employers are going to get away from hiring full-time people, so they do not have to get involved with this healthcare issue.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't know the part-timer. I see, yeah, because they're not committed to a full-time pay.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's really scary. And that we have got to do something. And there is not one leader in Washington even discussing the few words that we just spoke about. No one is saying that this is what employers are doing. You hear it here and there, or some of our talk stations in Philadelphia may bring it up. But on a national level, it's hidden.
Well, Mike, why don't they, you know, in Washington, why don't they say, hey, let's hold off a year on this plan. Let's both sides, let's look at it, dissect it, look into it. Is there good, bad, ugly? And what's going to work? Why don't they take a year if they don't know?
I agree. I think they should table the whole issue for an entire year. And in that year, educate the people as to what it really is all about.
Both sides, right?
Both sides. If it's, you know, the Tea Party, everybody all together, we table it for a year. I don't want to hear that the president doesn't want to negotiate and Boehner doesn't want to negotiate and Harry Reid. I mean, all of these people have to get together and say, are we working for America? Or are we working to be bullies and stubborn in the process? Who's going to win? No one. Who's going to lose? The American people.
Well, I think, Michael, America has definitely, I think the Congress as a whole has certainly over the years shown a willingness to devote time and resources and monies to other places around the world. And perhaps I shouldn't say all Congress people, but I'd be willing to bet, and I'm not a betting man, although I think it's better to gamble than buy health insurance. I'm not a betting man, but I would say that the majority of Congress probably has no idea what kind of competition they have with other countries. You know, Mark, if there was a Made in America store that moved in right next door to you, I guarantee you you'd spend hours every week studying that business to figure out what he's doing well, to try to compete, to try to get an upper hand.
Absolutely.
Where's our sense of competition?
You That's learn right. more from your enemies, right, Rich, than you fools learn from their friends.
That's right.
Say again, Mark? I couldn't hear Mark. Say again.
I said you learn more from your enemies than fools learn from their friends.
In the great words of Don Corleone, keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
Absolutely, right?
You're right. Gentlemen, I have to pause for a thank you to our supporters today, and I have some of the ethnic groups that have also asked that I mention them as supporters of our broadcast, and they include the Columbus Day Parade Committee, the Von Steuben Day Parade Committee in the German community, the St. Patrick's Day Parade Committee, the Puerto Rican Day Parade Committee, the Greek Independence Day Committee, as well as the Ukrainian American Cultural Center. Also, best wishes to all of you from Polka Deli in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia, from Nina Titta of J World Travel, also in Port Richmond, Philadelphia, as well as from Michael Steinman, attorney at law, who has two offices in Philadelphia to serve you, and Anthony Szyszkiewicz, who is the president of Polonia Bank, and Dr. Włodzimierz Zinn of Everest Dental at 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia, and also Polish-American Heritage Month greetings from Mr. Leon Mankowski, attorney at law, who's located at 2624 East Allegheny Avenue. Also, best wishes from Pan Man Jan Majewski and all of the people there at Giorgio Foods, a symbol of quality since 1928. Look for the Giorgio Food products in your local supermarket. And Mr. Chester Kshanovsky of Serena's Auto Body Shop wishes all the very best, as do the people from Pat's Auto Tags, located at 2536 East Allegheny Avenue in Philadelphia, and from Mr. Frank Spula, who is the national president of the Polish National Alliance, and from Yolanda Konopacka de Scipio, attorney at law, and from Martin Bednarek, president of the Washington Savings Association, located in the Philadelphia area, and from Mr. Józef Drobot, who is the president of the PRCUA, the Polish Roman Catholic Union of America, marking its 140th anniversary this year. And also from everyone at the Polish American Travel Service, 2714 East Allegheny Avenue, and from Dr. Eva Marczak, who has two dental offices in Philadelphia to serve you, and from Rose Garden Flower Shop, located at 2964 Richmond Street, and from Dominic Rostotsky, attorney at law, located at 1835 Market Street, and from the Sugar House Casino, located at 1001 North Delaware Avenue in Philadelphia, as well as from Mr. George Szymański, who is an attorney, and he welcomes you to contact him. Best wishes to all of our listeners and encouragement from all of our advertisers to go out and seek out American-made products. Well, as I come back today, I want to say that if I was out of a job, and Mark was out of a job, and Rich was out of a job, and Larkin was out of a job, and Henry was out of a job, what would we want to know? Number one, I'll say this. I would want to know what elected official is doing something to make sure jobs are stable in America, and what are they doing to attract more jobs, give more incentives to the companies so that they stay in America and come back. That's what I would want to know. I can't find that out. And by the way, since around the 20th of September, I've been contacting a few of the people, asking them who is going to be the leader of the jobs movement in America once this whole issue with the shutdown and all is resolved. And by the way, gentlemen, I'm sad to say, I don't have anyone on the top of the list. We have a lot of people in the background that say, well, if somebody proposes it, I'll definitely be available to be with them. But I cannot, because I'm only a small representative from Pennsylvania or New Jersey. It's got to be leadership. Is that the biggest amount of bull you ever heard?
Well, Michael, you know, since we do tend to live in the U.S., we tend to live in a fantasy land anyway. If Congress isn't going to do the jobs, then, you know, I'll vote for Chewbacca from Star Wars to lead the jobs.
You know, Mark, as I saw your dad in the movie, in the American-made movie, some of the people in the theater said, this guy resembles a Lech Wałęsa, who was the Solidarity great in Poland, who helped, bring down the Iron Curtain. And by the way, I must say that in my discussions with the people in the last few days, that event happened in Poland. The Berlin Wall came down. Communism was destroyed with a few people working together. And those people were Ronald Reagan, the Iron Lady, Margaret Thatcher, Pope John Paul. They really got together and they sort of worked with Lech Wałęsa and made sure that this came about. Not one fire was burned the houses down in any country. There was no guns fired, no people were killed, but change happened because leaders united. That's what we're lacking in America. We have no leaders uniting to get something done, to break down the barriers of bringing back jobs to the USA. Here we are with the 145 million employed out of a total population of 315 million. That in itself is a sad situation. But getting to the point, your dad is somebody who you're going to have to interview him, Mark, and ask him what he would like to see done. As a person who's been around and has some few opinions to give, ask him what he would like to see done in Washington and what he would like to see changed for the betterment to get our job skills back.
Yeah, my father's not as quiet as I am, Mike. You know, and it's funny, you know, he'll tell you how he feels, but, you know, as you get older and you're listening, you know, he's right. You know, you got to lead by example, and I think all the new people in Washington become products of their environment. You know, it's just so sad that we got leadership like we do down there. You've got to listen. Rich, you listen in business. Mike, I listen to employees, try to get better at listening. But at the end of the day, then you make your decision, or at the end of the week, you kind of bring everything in and say, no, sometimes it's your way. There's a right way, a wrong way, some way in between, but hopefully it helps, and it's the better decision for future to come. And I just don't see any of that right now. now. This is a mockery, and everybody should be ashamed that works in government.
Right. For too many years, those American leaders spent our time that we pay for and our money on issues that don't represent the well-being of the everyday American, the person who wants a job, the people, many of the people that are on public programs, they don't want that. They want to be trained. They want to have some stability. They want to be free of government, not to have more government questions and more mandates placed upon them. I'm totally against all of these mandates and getting all this information. I mean, where is our freedom? It's like Big Brother is upon us, and they want to just keep piling it on.
Well, Michael, I'm going to tell you, if our government is not going to pay attention to business, I can tell you that other countries sure as hell will. And I've used this, and I've said it before. The fact is, America, we are by far the number one economy. It would be so highly, it's so unlikely for us to be displaced as the top economy in the years to come.
But Rich, I have a question. Here is a question. Big question. 70% of America's economy is based on people going out to a store and buying something. Is that correct?
That's 70% of our economy is consumer spending.
So now, how long can consumers continue to buy things before they go bankrupt themselves?
Well, but Michael, here's sort of the answer. The follow-up to that question is this. Does Congress know that? Do state officials know that? Other countries are becoming wise to it. Other countries have begun developing their infrastructure. See, we as the top economy, that's a bit misleading, and it's not perhaps misleading but deceiving, because I use an analogy of a boxing analogy. You know, at one time, and Mark has talked about in the film, we were 50% of the world's economy. We were a prize fighter who won basically by TKO in the first round or two. Now what it seems like is we're still that heavyweight fighter, but we need to go 11 or 12 rounds, and we're getting pummeled here and there. That seems to be the direction that we're headed in. It's not about losing the top spot. It's about other places taking bites out of us for this and that and here and there. So while I do understand reasonably that we're not going to get everything, we should, however, prospect and pursue everything.
And you know, Richard, you are absolutely correct. And my follow-up question is, who in the United States Congress, House, Senate, or President, is leading the way?
Well, who's really saying this? Who's drilling it home? Who's a broken record?
No one.
Who's a broken record about, hey, guys, do you understand what's happening around the world? The world is changing. Economies are globalizing. They're modernizing. They're modernizing with technology. The question, Michael, what you said before about officials coming together, you know, that was 30-some-odd years ago. Times, obviously, we know this, are different now. And what the types of leaders we need are people who understand that America is faced with fierce competition. But we should always be leading that competition. We lead it now. The problem is we're not leading it at the rate we need to. And in this country, and again, as I said last week, perhaps this is a little bit utopian on my part, but I don't apologize for it. We should lead everything. Businesses from around the world should be looking here to come here. Just as you take, for example, Bavarian Motor Works, BMW, they're building all their vehicles in South Carolina.
Right.
That was a local case where a local entity went to an international company and said, you need to come here. What are our officials doing? Well, you know, they're around there. Our officials are all over the world. Are they really talking about, hey, bring your goods here. Hey, bring part of your business here. No, they're talking about, you know, the same stuff they've been talking about for 50, 60 years in the Middle East, right? The same stuff that's being talked about now in the Middle East is the same thing that were talked about 50 years ago. The other night I watched this film Argo, which was very entertaining, not very historically accurate, and it was about the Iranian hostage situation, which occurred in the 70s. Here we are, 40 years later, we're still talking about Iran in the news. 40 years later, we're still talking. This is what, unfortunately, it consumes part of our elected official days. And we go and elect these guys, and we think there's a difference between them every election. Yeah, this guy's great, and this girl's great. Well, this is what they've been doing for all of these decades, while the rest of the world, other countries, have been developed.
And growing far beyond anything where we...
And Michael, China and India, an emerging market right now, they're not looking and saying, we're going to supplant America as number one. That's not what they're thinking. They're thinking, we can get a part of their business, a part of their economy, so we can create jobs here. Remember, I told you two months ago, Mike, when I was in the studio, and I said, there's a Michael Bleihaus somewhere in another country saying, why can't we get American businesses to come here? Why can't we get American goods made here and sell them in America? Those conversations are being had elsewhere around the world. We need leaders who understand that, who understand that the competition is only going to get fiercer over time. And until we have officials who occupy the majority of our elected officials' chairs and seats and committees, we're going to just keep slogging along as a part-time economy. That's just the way it is right now. That's the trend, and that trend doesn't seem to be changing right yet. Maybe there are, there's blips here and there of positive news, but we need to have a higher expectation of we created X amount of 10,000, 20,000 jobs. We need to have a higher expectation. We need to understand that government should have a part in economic success. When businesses are thriving, they're hiring jobs. When entrepreneurs have incentives to create businesses, they hire. That's where jobs are created, by growing businesses that are already in existence and new businesses that need to bring people on to hire them. That's where jobs come from, period.
Well, you're absolutely right. And in fact, as a little bit of a backup to that, I want to just say that it's really up to the American people, all of us. We're doing our job here during our broadcast. We're emailing. I mean, Mark is doing a dozen and one things to try to promote the Made in America campaign. He appeared in the American Made movie. He's done an enormous amount of work. Rich, you've done your thing, and you have other things planned in the future, and I can't wait to see more of the things that you'll be doing. But it's really up to the American people, who have already started to show their hand as they're going shopping and saying, I'm not going to buy it until there are some more competitive American-made products available. And I admire that. When people tell me that, I feel so good that we're getting our message out. But I really think that our listeners, and I'm going to encourage people more as we go toward the Christmas season and the end of the year, they have to contact our national leaders. In fact, do it today and let them know that you want them to direct 80% of their time and 80% of our money on incentives that are going to be attracting private sector businesses back here to the USA and to help our businesses that are here expand. If we don't speak up and let them know that there is a voice, don't worry about the Democrats are angry and the Republicans are angry and the president's angry. Who cares? All I want to know is, what are they doing to keep people employed so that they can be self-sufficient? And I say that with my social service hat on, because working in social services, people contact me for jobs, not for social programs where they're going to get money. They're looking for jobs, helping with parents that may be aged and in need of some services, but they're not looking for government handouts. And that is what upsets me, that our national leaders strictly have all their focus on what are we going to do to give handouts out, but not where we can get people employed so they don't have to ever go to a handout.
I'd like to just say, Rich, when you compare the United States or America to a prize fighter, what's that prize fighter need is discipline. we need discipline, and we need to concentrate on the challenges or the problems today and get all that other, you know, crap, Mike, that we don't need to worry about out of our way and concentrate on the problems, jobs, and buy in America. When you talk about the other countries, Rich, they're trying to live the dream. They're trying to be like America. They're kind of, you know, they got that can-do spirit that we had at once, but we've lost. We've got to find that and allow people to dream and have that drive and create our opportunities that'll give us our jobs.
They have done their own industrial revolution everywhere in the world. It's more and more. But America's going to really lose out in the next few years because we have now about 650 million people in various countries that want jobs. They want to come out of the fields from the farms and go into the cities, and they're willing to work hard to get into a new frame of life, which means not live on a farm, but live in a city. So they want jobs, and they're going to find jobs for their countrymen. Our people have to save the jobs that we have here and bring more jobs back. With all the new technology in the world, we should be able to create jobs. And Rich, I'm going to address this thing with the jobs issue. And when they say every month, how many jobs are created, I'm doing a whole little survey on that. What exactly does that mean? When they say America created 150,000 jobs last month, when I give you that report, you'll be very interested to see what that really represents.
Hey, but, Mike, I got an idea. How about, well, they're shut down in Washington, we get them to see the American-made movie and give them some popcorn, and they can see where we were, what we're doing now, and what we better do for our children's future.
You said
maybe
something.
If we can get that movie seen.
And, you know, I want to tell you, I send you some newspapers, Mark. I hope you got them.
But, yes, I did. Thank you.
Oh, very good. I want to let everybody know that on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com, you can go right under the Blihosh plan on the right side. There is a report. It's a picture of Mark. It appeared in the last edition of the Polish American News. It's a picture of Mark and a report on the American-made movie. And also, we're going to let our listeners know about a special campaign that the Made in America store is doing. And if you can vote for Mark and his store, something special may happen in the future. And we're going to put that link up on the front of our site today and get some people voting for the Made in America store.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Michael, I have a bit of a debt of gratitude. You know, I have to say a bit of a debt of gratitude to you, Mark, you, and to Larkin. I was always someone who looked at labels, but I'll tell you, since coming on this show, it's heightened my own awareness. And, you know, next week, Michael, is actually the one-year anniversary since I've been coming on the show. So I can't believe it's been a whole year since I've been polluting the airwaves.
I must be pretty close with you, Rich.
Great opportunity, though, to participate, and I do really appreciate that, and I owe you guys, all of you, including Mark, and I owe you, all you guys something for making me really a more conscious and astute consumer. And I would, you know, I'd say I was always pretty aware, but you guys heightened my awareness, so I really thank you, all of you guys. For that.
Thank you, gentlemen. As you can see, we did not beat the clock again today until Saturday at 11. I'll be back or until next Wednesday at 11. I want to thank Larkin Connolly, Rich Logis, and Mark Andel for all of their participation. Go on the front of our site and you will see easy ways to contact your national elected leaders and also your state level leaders. Don't hesitate to speak up in behalf of America. Guys, my very best. And I'll talk to more of you. I'll be out in the Columbus Parade this week and up on the grandstand. So I'll do my very best to socialize and spread the word about American Workers Radio. Dovidzenia.
Thank you, everyone.
Have a good week, guys.